Thank you. It's nice to be here. My name is David Bill. My wife, Teresa, and I have been on the mission field, as the pastor said, for 28 years. And we do have three children. Our prayer cards are on the back this time. Our new prayer cards don't include our children because we're going back the first time without them, leaving them all here. And I like to say we have three children, one of each kind. Actually, two boys and a girl. But I appreciate your prayers for them. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus who came that Christmas long ago to light up this dark world. He left the mission with us to go and make disciples of all nations. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will help us to be the light that you want us to do to be, and to shine up and clean up those glasses and see the world as you see it, and let your light shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're as old as I am, you'll remember Pat Boone's daughter, Debbie, who recorded a song that became popular after her conversion to Christianity called "Light Up My Life." That's great. You are older than I am, probably. I believe she recorded it to describe Jesus, who did indeed light up her life, as John 1:4 tells us, "In him was life. And that life was the light of men." The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And again, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse that's familiar to many of us, Paul said, "If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new." So, like Paul, if Christ be truly alive and shining in us, then we are walking witnesses. And those around us will see the light and take notice. You see, Jesus went on to say to his disciples, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Unfortunately, most of the world lives and walks, or should I say stumbles, in darkness. The scriptures prophesied of Jesus who came to be light. "For surely the people who walked in darkness saw a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, a light shone upon them." The prophecies were fulfilled as Jesus did come. As John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory." Jesus said of himself in John 8:12, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So, we who have received the light of life are to let our light shine. And as Philippians 2:15 says, "Shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." All these passages are talking about incarnate lights. Lights that come from people. But you see that people today have opened their ears to politicians whose empty promises have made cynics of sincere followers. They've opened their hearts to cultic leaders who have all but robbed them of life and limb. People have opened their minds to, well, every philosophy and pharmaceutical, only to find a curse, not a cure. Hoping to find peace, but only becoming poor. People are now desperately, yet cautiously, looking for, hoping to catch a glimpse of a life that works, opening their eyes in hopes of seeing some light amidst the darkness of their existence that they were told was called life, but wasn't, isn't. Are you that light? Am I? Are we here in the Alliance light? Are our marriages, our families, our work sites, our churches shining enough for them to see the way, the truth, and the life? Our daughter Chandra recently graduated from Dakar Academy in Senegal, and we enjoyed the festivities there as we stayed at a mission guest house situated along the coast, right below a lighthouse. It was amazing to see how that light pierced the darkness and could have guided a ship at sea in potential peril to the safety of the shore. My question for myself and us today is, do we draw people to the light like ships on a dark, stormy sea are guided to a lighthouse? If not, how great is their peril? Darkness is the absence of light, just as cold is the absence of heat and death the absence of life. If we don't let Jesus shine through us, if we be not light, who will be? And how will people see to be saved? How will they see to be saved from the consequences of darkness and its prince, bent on wrecking their lives, so very near the shores of salvation? I want to place this question before myself today, before you. But how are we being light in Congo? Well, first of all, by living there. By living the biblical model. You see, Jesus came to us. Most religions try to get to Him. People are trying constantly to build these towers of Babel to reach God, and it just can't be done. In fact, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." We're living there, being a living witness, one that people can truly witness with their eyes and see to believe. We live and let our lights shine among them, as Jesus did when He lived among us, when He, as the Bible says in the Greek, pitched His tent among us, and when they saw His glory. And we hope that the Christ in you and me is shining through, and that we are glorifying God among us, so that the chains of darkness that has bound them can be broken. You know, the children in Congo call my wife Teresa Mrs. Bible. I think they misunderstood Mrs. Bill and just said Mrs. Bible, and they call me, well, anything from white man to Mr. Christ. And I didn't like that. I don't like being called Mr. Christ. But, you know, when I thought of it, I thought that, you know, Christians are little Christs. That's what the word means. In fact, just recently, as my colleague Celestine and I were coming back from a 3-day training tour in 3 different towns far from our home, we stopped at a village never before visited, and a child came to look in the car. And seeing the Alliance logo on the door, but not my wife inside, he said this, "Oh, too bad, Mrs. Bible's not there." Now, I was shocked by that, but that's how far and effectively the reputation of her light has shone. We live there, shining in the darkness, pushing back the darkness, hopefully replacing the darkness by being light, letting our light shine among them. During this term, we've seen the darkness pushed back, replaced by the light in several ways. One was getting a national worker and his family to join us. Now, this is Celestine and Jan, and they're 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they have more than that. In fact, they just added this little guy. His name is, well, he has 6 names. I don't understand African naming. But I think they try to choose a name that's never before used in the whole world. And then they name him that and then add a bunch of other names. And One of his names is G, just the letter G. And I asked him, I said, well, what's the G stand for? And the guy said, it's an English G. It stands for good, God, gold, glory, anything that's, you know, positive like that. Go figure. But anyways, we're very thankful for Celestin and his family, and they are truly a godsend, and we're in need of more like them. So pray for them. Another way was God giving us a new mayor of our town who was a Christian and helped to unite the churches into a ministerium that held a pastor session and began to start 3-month weekly TEE classes. Yet another was starting to move operations to a more fertile town. And still another was establishing theological education by extension and Sunday school teacher training centers in 7 towns in 3 provinces. We worked extremely hard to teach 22 3-month theological education by extension courses in the Northern Congo, while my wife taught 17 all-day Sunday school teacher training courses in all but one of these same towns. Greatly effective was the Kids Bible Club my wife and her staff held weekly for 3 years in our garage between 3 and 6 p.m., where between 60 and many times now over 100 children would come to sing, pray, hear a Bible lesson, learn health and hygiene, learn about manners, memorize verses, and color Bible pictures, as well as earn their New Testaments. Now we have many little lights running around the neighborhoods. For children and youth today are the church tomorrow. And they're a lot easier to reach than adults who are many times anchored in their traditional and worldly ways. We're now in the process of building a church ministry center that will minister to and resource the area at large. And this ministry center will be used as a model church, a Christian school, an adult Christian education center with a library, a reading room, and hopefully much more. And we're asking folks in North American Alliance churches to help us complete that. So if you're interested, please let us know. I actually got a word from the Lord, and he told me to quit building churches and start building ministry centers because he told me that people like to meet, but they don't like to minister. And that may be true of many of us. You know, we like to meet together. Surely we like to eat together. We're going to do that afterwards, I think. Tonight. But many of us don't like to minister. And so our goal is to use this as a ministry center to train people, to disciple people, so that they can reach out to all different strata of society, children, youth, adults, saved and unsaved, in reach and outreach. So pray for this ministry center. This will be the focus of our next term. But light also gives warmth. Not that it's not warm in Africa. In fact, the word Africa in Latin means sunny, and in Greek means without cold, alpha privative. So we're trying to be light by loving there. Besides the ministry to children and to church leaders, let me tell you one story of how we're reaching out in gestures of love to all different types of people. Now, the word done in French is a command meaning give. And during one of my first trips to Oyo, a town near us in northern Congo, I encountered a young lady whom I first came to call Done. Why? Well, Done is mentally or emotionally challenged for one reason or another. And she wanders around near the marketplace, approaching people, slowly saying done. Or give, usually wanting money or food. Her real name is Naiva. I don't know what happened to Naiva, but more recently, while again in Oyo waiting for some of my colleagues to return and standing by my truck, I saw her approaching me to say her favorite word, and this time I beat her to the punch and I asked her to done or to give me something. Well, she had a small bag of bread in one hand and some coins she had apparently collected in another. And she very slowly looked at me and then looked at her bag of bread, and being caught off guard for a moment, took a time to deliberate. Again, slowly raising her hand, she offered me her bag. I took it, thanked her, and began breaking up chunks of bread, all the while giving her the high sign that she had done a good thing and that I was satisfied. But as the moments turned to minutes, and as many people began to notice this unusual encounter, I began feeling a bit like Jesus may have, whom I'm sure had many encounters with outcasts, and who took time in this world to value their lives. Now that the tables were turned a bit, I asked Naiva where she lived in Lingala, a new language we're learning. She very slowly pointed in a direction and spoke slowly again, this time with a bit of slobber, the name of her home area. I then asked her her name, and she told me, but I couldn't quite understand it. And she noticed that and began to look around and found on the ground an old piece of welding rod and bent down and wrote in the sand, N-A-I-V-A. I immediately took my turn to say my name and then write it beside hers. Several other words were slowly spoken, friendly gestures made, and then to my surprise, she gave me a coin. It wasn't much, about 10 cents worth or a half loaf of bread, and we shook hands and she began walking away across the street. As she neared the other side, I waved and she waved back. I had to put my sunglasses on rather quickly to hide my tears and to pray that Jesus would use her perhaps to begin a church in Oyo. For of such are those who tend to be first to enter the kingdom. Jesus said that it's better to give than to receive, but he also said, ask, and you will receive. It seemed like both Naiva and I received more than we gave that day, simply because we were doing what Jesus asked us to do. That's to love one another. And you know, you and I have opportunities every day as people pass our way to love one another. Do we take them? Since then, I've exchanged gifts, handshakes, and hugs with Naiva several times, and each time her smile seems to get bigger and she seems more open. She even said, praise the Lord, in French the last encounter. But what I'm trying to say here, folks, is that relationships take time. And living among a relationship-oriented people, unlike our task-oriented culture in North America, makes infrequent encounters like these all the more important for the kingdom. I wonder how many of us take the time to value the lives of our neighbors, our children, our spouses, those in our network. Are we too busy on our computers and laptops and Palm Pilots or whatever you call them, MP3 players, to do that? You see, Christianity is a relationship. And to love God and to love your neighbor, all he asks us to do. So pray with me that we'll be able to glorify God and love our neighbors here in this new mission area, especially those who seem to most people to be the least of Jesus' brothers and sisters. Those like Naiva. But along with people like Naiva, we've been taking opportunities to pre-evangelize the Chinese, the Muslims, the French, and other Africans through the distribution of Chinese New Testaments, English classes, sale of eyeglasses, and or like this expatriate man from Cameroon, whom I helped rebuild his electronic shop free of cost. Now I've gained the trust of him, and I'm able to give him Christian books. I've discipled him, and he's actually now attending one of the Christian churches in our area. So how are we being light in Congo? Thirdly, by learning there. Learning that we must live among them, fulfilling the Great Commission to go. Learning that we must love them, fulfilling the Great Commandment to love your neighbor. But also realizing that the darkness is so great there, we can't do it alone. You may not be there with us, but you can help us provide greater light and greater warmth through your prayers and through your support. And that's why we live this call together. For with your prayer and support in many different ways, the living and loving are made more effective. Now, sometimes we feel like a candle or a match in a vast darkness, but with your support behind us in various ways, the light can get brighter and warmer. Let me illustrate this by just striking a match. Now, don't call the fire company. I'll be careful. And this is how we feel, but with your prayer and support behind us, the light can get brighter and warmer. That's what you do. Well, if you don't remember anything, you can remember this. So, since we're to live this call together, how can you help us shine better and push back or replace the darkness? Well, the first thing you can do is to pray. And please, that's our first work. Without prayer, we really don't go anywhere. We're not very effective. And that's why we have missionary reports and conferences to increase your awareness of prayer needs, among other things. You can now receive and respond to our newsletters called The Congo Current to stay current about and committed to lighting up Congo. So if you haven't done it already, you can sign up for our newsletter on the back, as the pastor was talking about. And I take great pride in our newsletter because I put it out every month faithfully. It talks about what we did the last month and what we're going to do the next month. Lots of pictures, lots of update prayer requests and answers. So it'll help you do your part in living the call together. But secondly, participate financially. Your support financially keeps us there, but it also helps us to do the work needed in many ways. Now, the Great Commission Fund is the number one financial priority for the Alliance. If you wouldn't give to that, we wouldn't be out there. But beyond that, we need to raise support for cars and Bibles to distribute and the building we're building. And so that's all beside the Great Commission Fund. So if you'd like to pick up a brochure and commit to that, we'd love it, and we'd really appreciate you doing that. But thirdly, prepare. Now, as I continue to talk to people about all the bugs in Africa, I think I'm discouraging you from coming and helping us. But it's not really that bad. If you get there, we'll put you up. How's that? And you will have a wonderful adventure with us. I used to have a boating ministry, and somebody made a T-shirt and said that I spend more time in the water than in the boat with Dave. But you will have an adventure one way or the other if you come over or send someone over on a mission trip to help us. Short-term mission trips are a joy for us because we don't get a lot of people in the bush, so we treat you royally. But it could also be a confirmation of a calling for others like yourselves or your children. It usually promotes mission cause in any case. Both my wife, Teresa, and I were out on short-term mission trips during our college years, and I remember having my call confirmed as I went to Gabon on a summer mission trip. Now, I know it's more expensive to get to Congo than to go to the Dominican Republic, but I think if they put another person on that island, it's going to sink. So let's distribute it around a little bit here. But fourthly, and most importantly, please persevere. Now, I understand you only get a missionary once every year, perhaps, or just a couple times a year. Yet I understand that 60% of so-called Alliance people in the States don't even give to the Great Commission Fund. Maybe we should have a missionary every week. I don't know. In fact, if a Christian and Missionary Alliance church these days even has a missionary conference or committee, they may soon forget or lose impetus after their missionaries visit. Praise the Lord, you're not like one of them, but even if for some of us who do, it seems like we're like cheerleaders when the missionaries visiting, holding us up, encouraging us, shouting, you know, pray, give, go. Yeah, missionary. M-I-S-S-I-O-N-A-R-I-E-S. Missionary, missionary, rah, rah, rah. But then as the weeks after the missions conference passes, the mission flags come down and the shouts decrease. Missionary! Missionary? What's a missionary? And the hands come down, and the mission and the missionary may all be, but well, practically forgotten. Again, thank the Lord, you're not like one of those churches. But we all need to persevere, not only in our own faith, but in this mission that we're called to. You see, Jesus only told us to do one thing when He left. That was to go to all the nations and make disciples. That's it. And if we're not doing that, whether here or abroad, we're going to have to answer when He comes back and say, well, did you do what I asked you to do? And we're going to say things like this. Well, I sang in the choir, which is great. And the choir was wonderful today. Bless me. Or I taught a Sunday school class, or I came to church every Sunday. Well, that's not the question. Did you make disciples? Are you a disciple? And if you are, who are your disciples? Hopefully at least your children. But we need to persevere in this matter of mission. We need to be like Aaron and Hur, who held up Moses' hands during the battle with the Amalekites until the battle was won. And the Amalekites were eventually eliminated. That's the degree that we need to commit to mission, and to Congo in particular. I appreciated what the pastor said this morning. Mission is an emergency, and it is. If we don't do it, people will not get saved. After all, we are the Christian and Missionary Alliance, aren't we? You see, we have a foothold in northern Congo. We're up and running. By living there, we're fulfilling the Great Commission to go. By loving there, we're fulfilling the great commandment to love. Let's not falter now. Learn to live this call together. Let's keep the hands high until the work is done, until the light of Christ shines in that country like the noonday sun. You and I know the Christian adage, believing is seeing, and that's faith. And we live by faith, from faith to faith. Well, let me tell you, in Congo, for the non-believer, it's still seeing is believing. And they stay in darkness until they see the light. Until they see a light bearer. Until they see a life that shines. And then they believe. I remember moving to a new area in northern Gabon, and I told my wife, I'm not going to say anything to our neighbors for 6 months. I'm just going to let them see our lives shine. After that 6 month, we invited them to church and they accepted the Lord right away. Are we shining enough for people to be convinced that Christianity is a viable option? I hope so. As the song says, we need to let Jesus shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. Shine through me. Shine through us. Are you that light? Am I? Are we letting our light shine enough for them to see the light? You see, the harvest is passing. Summer's ending. And these people are still not saved. May God help us to be brighter lights. pushing back and replacing the darkness, living this command together. Thank you for helping us. May God bless you and continue to help us be light, not only here, but around the world. Thank you, Pastor.